There we go. Thank you, Michelle, for that song. Yeah, my name is Lee Duro. I'm the youth director here at church, and it was my privilege, well, me and my assistant, Ruth Ann's privilege, to take the kids down to Mexico. We had a little slight hiccup in March, and we were wondering even if we should be going down to Mexico. Our trip kind of got canceled from some circumstances. There was also some violence that happened in Mexico. Some students pulled out of the trip. So me and Ruth Ann were kind of left wondering, kind of frustrated and kind of wondering if we should even go at all. Our flights were booked and the chances of us going were kind of like slim because usually these trips are planned at least a year in advance. So that November, we had the privilege of going to, like we do every year, we go to the junior high retreat, senior high retreat. And there was a speaker there, his name was Judd, and he was used to be from Central Baptist, and now he works for YWAM. And so we just had her in conversation with him because he works in the Ensenada base, and we go to Ensenada. And so I was just talking to him, and he said, yeah, you guys should come and check out our base. So I'm like, yeah, that was great, whatever, and we kind of left it at that. All of a sudden, in March, we had nowhere to go. So I was wondering, so what to do? So I thought, well, you know what? Doesn't hurt to email or text Judd and see if the Ensenada base would have room for our group. And so I texted him quick and said, I know this is a long shot, but we have these dates booked. Our plane tickets are booked. Would you have room for our group? And a couple days later, he said, yes, we do. And we had to change our date for our flights by one day. So everything worked out extremely well, and it was very evident to me that God wanted us in YWAM and Ensenada. So everything worked out incredibly well. I just want to say a big, huge thanks for all your support. We had incredible donations from Just Giving to the support of our garage sale to all of our fundraising. So thank you so much for that. And as a parent and as a youth director, I just want to say that your kids were phenomenal. They represented themselves and God and CNBC very, extremely, extremely well, and I'm very, very proud of all of them. So with that being said, I'm going to call up some students, and they're going to tell you about their experience in Mexico. So first of all, it is Brent, and he's got something super planned and super awesome for us.
Check, check, one, two. Yee, yee. Hear me in the back? Whoa, whoa. Okay. I gotta actually pull out my note. Otherwise. All right. As Lee just said, I'm Brian Polsky. I was on the missions trip this summer. Hold on, I gotta actually look at my script. I'm just here to talk to you guys, the church, about what you guys allowed to happen and allowed us to experience in Mexico through funding the trip and, you know, just you guys allowing us to go to Mexico. So in Mexico, we saw God at work a lot, and the first time I saw God at work was before the trip, but Lee already talked about that, so I'm sure you guys don't want to hear the whole thing again, but it was just amazing how the circumstances lined up for us to even still go, even after the initial trip was canceled, and how it was the same exact week, too. So, yeah, so I'm just going to skip that whole part because Lee just said that. I was really surprised, like one thing that really surprised me while we were there, just for context, we were at a women's shelter, and the goal was kind of just like to play with the kids, have some fun, right? But they had a shed, which needed to be cleared out, and I was one of the guys who helped clear out the shed. And there was a lot of stuff in there, which I was like, oh, this is useless, like this is not something, like just throw it in the garbage. And they're actually really resourceful, because there's a bunch of curtain rods, with curtains, there's a bunch of curtains. And I'm like, oh, these are useless. She's probably just going to tell us to throw these out. But no, she's like, no, we keep the curtains because, say, someone doesn't have a door. They can hang the curtain in their door to keep flies out and bugs out. And I just never would have thought of that, you know? And it's also kind of, like, disheartening to know that some people don't have doors down there. She was also afraid to wash them because they were so old that they might come apart in the wash, and then they're completely useless, as opposed to just having like a dirty curtain, which would still keep flies out. So that was just kind of interesting. And apparently, so she also had two cribs in the shed. And, you know, nobody really needs two cribs, but, like, I mean, I guess you have two kids. So she had two cribs in the shed, and she had us getting them ready because she was going to take pictures and send those pictures to the hospital to see if the hospital would want cribs donated to them because they didn't have enough cribs there, which was just kind of shocking to me that a hospital wouldn't have enough cribs. It was disheartening to see how much stuff that they lacked that they needed, like the hospital with cribs and like some material stuff like that. But they also had a lot that we lack in stuff like relationships and even in their relationship with God at church. So like here, I really love the church here, but the connections, they felt really connected. The church felt really connected in Mexico in a way that we get close, but I don't think we're there yet. Like, it was a really funny thing that happened. So as the service is starting, they start singing this song. And it's like when you see a person and you recognize their face, but you can't remember their name. And eventually I figure it out. And I look at one of the YWAM people next to me. And I'm like, are we singing Happy Birthday right now? And we were. We were singing Happy Birthday to someone, which is just really, that was really cool. And I really enjoyed that. So a couple of testimonies were shared in church, a couple from the group, and there was one of the people that goes to the church there who shared their testimony. And this was really interesting to me, because he starts his testimony, and he goes, I just want to thank God that I'm alive for another day. He just wanted to thank God that he just lived, like, and I've just never seen someone so grateful to God before in my life, I don't think. Because he had just gotten in a motorcycle accident, and just by some miracle, he survived. And so he was just incredibly thankful to be alive, and that was just really, really amazing to see someone just so thankful and grateful to God for what he's given them. So you guys are probably going to hear a lot of stories from the same day, so I'm just gonna apologize in advance, because you're probably going to hear some repeat stories. But on the last day of the trip, The most amazing thing on the trip happened, but I know that Jake wants to talk about that one, so I'll leave that one to him. But I'll talk about another thing that happened, it wasn't the really cool one, but it was still pretty cool in my opinion. So just for context, the last day, we went up to this mountain, and the goal was, effectively, to just pray and see what God wanted us to do up there. Now, before the trip, and honestly before this day, I was really not expecting to get spoken to at all, because in my brain, it's like, oh, God doesn't move so blatantly as speaking to us during our prayers. It's like he only moves in subtle ways that we don't really see. It's nothing too blatant like that. I was definitely proven wrong. I wasn't expecting to get anything out of it because I just, like, in my brain, God didn't move like that. I was incredibly wrong. Because that day on the mountain, he really did speak to us during our prayers. And one thing that he showed me as I was praying was a man in a red collar shirt and a red hat. And one thing that he showed Jake was a flower mural. These will come together later. Just let me cook. So after we're all done praying, I think we were praying for like 30 minutes. Someone call me out if I'm spreading misinformation here. We prayed for about 30 minutes. Then we all got in a circle, and it was basically, tell us what you think you saw during your prayers. And I was planning on not saying about the guy in the red collar shirt and the red hat, because I was so sure that was just me thinking and not God saying anything. But then, as we were sharing, now, I really think, even in the moment, I was like, this is God's genius planning and foresight at work. This is amazing. Because as we're sharing, and I was planning not to because I thought it was just my thoughts and not God, Joel from our group said, I think God was just showing me the color red, and the connection between that and the fact that I had been seeing like a red collared shirt and a red hat gave me the confidence to say, you know, on the topic of the color red, I think that God was showing me a guy in a red collared shirt and a red hat. And so I think it was just amazing that God knew that I wouldn't have the confidence to just say that out of the blue. So he gave me a connection through someone else. That was just really amazing. And another thing that was interesting about that is basically as we had finished doing this praying on the mountain thing, we each split up into two groups. There's group one, which I was in, and group two, which I was not in. See, now all you guys have to have group one be the group that I was in and group two be the one that I was not in. Anyways, and then what was really interesting is that group one encountered the things that group two had seen in their prayers and vice versa. So I did not encounter, so Jake was also in my group. We did not encounter a man in a red collared shirt or a red hat, and we didn't encounter a flower mural. But then as we meet up at the end of the day, like people start asking questions. Hey, did you encounter this guy? Did you see this? Did you see this? And it was just really amazing because I was like, so did you guys see a man in a red collared shirt and red hat? And they're like, yes, we did. I was like, what? I was genuinely shocked because again, I still had that feeling that it was just me making stuff up. But no, they really did encounter a guy in a red collared shirt and a red hat. And it was amazing because they also saw him near a flower mural like Jake had seen in his prayers. And that was just so amazing. And it's definitely the most blatantly I've ever seen God move ever. And it's just really empowered just my faith and belief that God really does move today in ways that, in subtle ways and in blatant ways, just to really demonstrate his power to us. That was just so amazing. I just want to thank you guys, the church, for allowing us to go on this trip and just to do these things out there. Thank you so much. This is me. I'm done. Someone sub in. I'm done.
Hello, I'm Josh, for those who don't know. Yeah, just like Brant said, just thank you all for your support and allowing us to go down to Mexico. Coming up on this trip, I was worried about what we as a group would encounter. I believed that this trip would be quite challenging, and I was worried I would say or do something wrong. When we got down there, we certainly encountered some challenges, just not how I thought. Instead of challenges coming from interactions with people, they came more from what we saw. One of the standout moments of this was when me and another one of our youth students who went down there, Lincoln, we were handing out some of our leftover sandwiches on the beach. And we just came across a guy on the beach and he seemed like he was in pretty rough shape. He was really beat up. Yeah, but fortunately we were still given the opportunity. We gave him some sandwiches and he was grateful for them. Some other challenges that I personally faced, like Brant said, I faced a lot of just trying to figure out when God was like talking to me, telling me to do something. So one of these days we were going to a senior's home. And on the bus while we were going there, one of the YWAM staff asked us who wanted to share their testimony. I didn't volunteer for this because I had already shared mine earlier in the week at church. But then as the day went on, I just couldn't get it out of my head that God wanted me to share my testimony. So after lunch, when we were coming up on the seniors' home, I just slid the testimony into my pocket just in case. So after we played some bingo and performed a skit for them, it was time for people who volunteered to share their testimonies. And as we listened to the first testimony, I kind of was just like, had mine out of my pocket. I was just fiddling around with it. And then eventually Ruthann asked me if it was my testimony. And then that was when I kind of was like, yeah, no, this is what God wants me to do. He wants me to share it. So yeah, I ended up sharing it. I didn't really see anything come from it, but I do have faith that God worked through it. But with the challenges, there also came excitement. And like Brant said, this day will probably be mentioned quite a bit. But yeah, we went up on this mountain that overlooked the city. And we kind of just all prayed to God, asking him where he wanted us for that day. So yeah, like Brant said, I kind of was like, I just don't see this happening right now. Like, I don't I feel like I'm getting nothing. I was up there for like a good 45 minutes and time ends and I feel like I got nothing. Like, yeah, I got, the only thing I had was a name, Fernando. And I just felt like, yeah, no, I'm just making this up, right? But then, so we got into a circle to kind of all like share what we thought we heard from God. And I think it was Faith who shared first that she, she was being called to a building. So, and then it was kind of just, I couldn't get it out of my head that like Fernando was a name God wanted me to say. And I was like, what the heck? Like, what? Like, I'll say it because, like, I can't find any downside to saying it, right? So, put it out there into the group, not really expecting much to come from it. And I guess I was in group two. So, I was in group two. We found, like, Brant's red polo shirt, red hat guy, and the flower mural and stuff. The other group found Fernando, which I won't really get into right now, just because I know some other people want to talk about that. But, yeah, that was just a huge, like, eye-opener for me, because I was just like, yeah, that was really cool. I was like, basically, God just shoved it in my face and was just like, here is me. So as I've kind of come back, it's kind of just become more clear to me. Just become more clear to me about where God wants me. And it's just, yeah, just as I move forward into the rest of my life, I'm just, yeah, now I have, I have a more clear picture on where God is leading me and just when he's calling me to do something. So yeah, thank you for all your support and thank you for allowing us to all go down there.
Hi, I'm Faith. And I also want to thank you a third time for sending us on the Mexico trip because it was super awesome and fun. And yeah, I think the mountain was definitely a highlight for me too. I think every single one of us thought we were crazy by saying something. It was interesting to see all the ways God interpreted himself to different people. I'm going to be real. Like, for some of the times, I was like, are we all making this up? Have we been out in the sun too long? Because Fernando is an interesting name. And Diego, I think. And we had a couple other names, but I don't remember them well. Oh, Evelyn. That was the other one. It was really fun. I love the kids on the missions trip. They were also, like, it was interesting to see how they, like, they were like, no matter where you are, kids are all the same. It's kind of like they would all like play the same stuff. And the language barrier was there with that. Like, you couldn't understand, but you could at the same time because you just have to nod and smile and you're good. It was very interesting, like, going to their church too. Like, happy birthday. It was so awesome. It was just all of a sudden the pastor went up and it was like, they were all best friends, and it was like, this guy just walks up, and he's like, happy birthday, and we're singing happy birthday, and yeah, there was so much, like, stuff that we all saw and did, and overall, it was like, the lesson that I came out with was that, like, you just have to keep your eyes open, because God could be anywhere, even when you think you're crazy. And I'm reading which questions I have to answer. One thing that I found, like, hard or challenging is when we went to a senior home, and it was interesting to, like, play, like, we played bingo, and it was a lot easier than I thought, because I was like, kids are easy, but, like, I was like, how do I interact with language barrier? And like, but it was actually really easy. We just played bingo. I had a sword fight. Ruthann got proposed to. It was pretty sick. Yeah. And yeah, that's how what I came up with from this trip is just keep your eyes open, guys.
Hi, my name is Jacob McCarroll, for those of you who do not know me. And I got the amazing opportunity to go on this missions trip to Mexico this summer with such an amazing team along beside me. While we were there, we got to experience so many amazing things that God was doing in our lives and the people around us. I was blessed to see the team around me and the kids that I had grown up with change and develop through the week that we were there, of how they had been impacted and also their like their viewpoints had changed. One of my favorite experiences was when we went to a domestic shelter for women and their kids. We got to see a couple that had provided for such an amazing refuge for those people with all that they had. Also, it was inspiring to see all the kids who, even though they had experienced so much, they were still so joyful and wanting and needing to play with us. It was super cool to see how understanding the locals were when we spoke and they couldn't understand us, but they still accommodated us and welcomed us. One thing that I got to do that was super cool was preach a sermon on Sunday morning at church. I never thought that I would get to experience such a welcoming and engaging audience, which was super supportive and helped me build my confidence through the trip. Lee was so supportive and ready to help me plan my sermon out, and I had felt the need to share my testimony in that sermon. I linked my testimony to what I was preaching on, which was how the wise man and the foolish man built their houses on the sand and on the rock. I feel that God helped me to do this, which led me in the path of being able to do it more and more by sharing my testimony and without being nervous and with having confidence in myself. We got to stay at an amazing YWAM base off the coast, which blessed us with this opportunity of being able to go in a time that we thought we weren't going to be able to. The leaders that helped us on our missions were incredible and nice and understanding, for we hadn't experienced anything like this. Probably the coolest thing I saw was that when we got to go out into the city and evangelize, we prayed. The others have said, we went to the top of the mountain, which was called Prayer Mountain, and prayed for about a half an hour and came together and shared what we had seen. There were a couple specific things and a couple not so specific, but the coolest thing that we had on that day was a guy named Fernando and a random building Faith had seen in the middle of the city. When I was put into Brant's group, we split up and went through the city, and the last place we went to was that building. And our translator, Ruben, introduced us to the security guard and asked if there was a Fernando, and she said yes and pointed us to him. He went and introduced us as missionaries and that we had felt that God wanted to come. God wanted us to go and pray for him. He told us about the struggles he was having, that his dad was in a car accident just 6 months before, and he had been having recurring strokes throughout this time and had one the Tuesday before we were there. His mom was also in medical struggle, and so he was feeling the stress and pressure from having to bear all of their medical costs while also supporting himself in school. We prayed for him, and he was super grateful, and he told us that we made his year because he was always the one to give to others and to be there for when they needed, but it had never been given back to him, and so he was super appreciative. That's a word. He was super grateful for us being there to pray for him and just to support him. I think this experience really opened my eyes in a way that I've never seen before, and it left me in awe of how amazing God can work. But there is zero, because of this, there is zero thought in my head that this could have all been a coincidence between the many things that we saw and the many things that were, like, that happened. The worship sessions that we had at the base were also important in this story. They helped me open my eyes and see things that were missed at first glance. The way they presented stories and opportunities for us to be one-on-one with God were amazing and helped me for sure just know that it wasn't my story down there. It was like me working or trying to work through God. Once again, I am so grateful that I got this opportunity to go on this missions trip with the amazing group and to be led by such amazing leaders as Ruth Ann and Lee, because they did amazing throughout the week and just teaching us and pushing us in the right direction and knowing what was right and wrong in the moments. I also want to thank the church for being so supportive and donating and giving so much, which made this trip possible. I will never forget the amazing things and people that we saw and met and the things that God worked through us on this mission trip. It was incredible to see how when people were in their lowest, they were still able to give as much as they had and they were still able to see the best. I saw God more times in that week than I could count. Not only in how he affected me and built my confidence in both myself and him, but also how he worked through the staff at the base and through everyone on our team. He helped our translators he helped them speak fluently and with poise and wisdom with what we had said and made sure that the locals knew that we were there for a reason. It was just incredible to see how all the couples and groups that were there to build and support and to give to these shelters that we went to and the places that we were for God to work through them into the lives of the kids and also the parents that were in these places. Thank you for listening. And I think Joelle is next.
Hi, I'm Joelle, and I just want to start by thanking you guys all for the support, and I want to thank Ruth Ann and Lee for taking us for a week down to Mexico. So I went down, and I wasn't sure what I'd get from the experience. I wasn't sure how God was going to use me, and so Prayer Mountain, you've heard a lot about that already. I was in group two, and I was unsure on how God would use me or if he would use me, because all I got was the color red. And we went down, and we were walking around, and I was just kind of following. I was like, there's no way God would use me in our group. There's so many other amazing people. And I felt drawn to a guy sitting in a wheelchair in front of the store, holding a cup, looking for money. And I felt like God was telling me to pray for him. So I approached him and asked his name. And his name was Evreen, which is a name we had gotten at the top of the mountain. And so I prayed for him. And I just was so amazed. And God proved me wrong in that moment. He was like, I can use you. And he did. It was really, one thing I found kind of hard was the goodbyes and just seeing some of the like living situations people had. Some people didn't have the best, but they were still so joyful, and I just thought that was so amazing, and it just put me in awe. They were so resourceful, they used everything they had, and they just had so much joy despite the little things they had. And I just am so grateful I got to go. I don't know who's next.
My name is Noah, and I'm here like the others to share a little bit of my experience on this mission trip. Speaking for myself and probably everyone else, I really enjoyed this trip and found a valuable experience that I'll never forget. So I just want to start by saying thank you for all your support, as your time and money weren't wasted one bit, as seen by my own eyes during the week. A lot happened that made us never doubt God was present in our midst, as we ran into various situations like the ones you've heard before me, which gave us reassurance that what the Lord needed us to do that week could be done in his will. While we may have not seen the direct impacts that we put into individuals' lives, we've seen the impacts they've put on ourselves, in which we bring what we learned to build up our community and demonstrate the love that God has for his people. Our group focused on what the YWAM base needed us to do, which was ministry. Because of this, I was able to see the joy locals had, even from not owning much, but the major thing they valued was relationships. Now you spend time with others. We walked by a newly opened restaurant where staff called people from the sidewalk, welcomed them to sit and enjoy freshly made food. We stopped and listened to one of the gentlemen there to see what he had to say, and proceeded to tell him we had just eaten some delicious tacos before, but thanked him for the offer. The man gave us a response I wasn't expecting to hear. He said, "Thanks for giving your time, as the most valuable thing you can give is your time for others, so thank you." It was a cool moment to realize our intention of love was spending time with others and making the most of the time they were given from God. I kept this in mind during our ministry for kids and seniors, acknowledged this through my interactions, just knowing that me spending a few moments with an individual can be deeply taken as connection similar to love. That's what I focused on through that week. Putting thought into interactions with others and displaying an example of how God's love can work through us if we let his will be done. The hardest struggle was definitely the language barrier. While I didn't know a few saints in Spanish, the one-to-one encounters were the most difficult, as I knew I couldn't tell them everything I meant to say, and I felt there was separation between the other individual and me. I was nervous to say the wrong thing and come across in a different way than I intended to, but I had faith that God would make it all work out and his mission would be successful. It didn't matter that I had a full conversation with them, but that I showed genuine care through my actions when sharing moments with them. And again, thanks for letting us go on this mission trip and allowing us to share what we learned from Mexico at church today. Thank you.
Good morning. My name's Javon, for those that don't know. I was one of the leaders that got to go down on the trip. I get the pleasure of wrapping up the experiences this morning, and a little part of me wanted to figure out how to put a bow on it, make it nice and pretty, but I'm really bad at wrapping presents, as my wife will tell you. So I'm going to be a little more honest about what I went through in Mexico and kind of what happened a little bit after that. Leading up to the trip was possibly one of the worst weeks I've had in terms of getting rest, focusing on God to prepare myself. I was feeling stressed, run down. The night before, I was up most of the night sick. It was not exactly a great lead up. On the flight down, my heart, my soul, I was just restless. I kept asking, Lord, what am I doing here? I'm way out of my element. Looking back on it, from the moment Lee asked me to come on the trip, these thoughts were stirring in me. Admittedly, it took me way longer than it should have to just say, all right, Lord, I'm here. I'm going to listen. It was like the van to the base. That's when I was like, okay, I'm here. Let's do this. That thought kind of became a theme for me throughout the week. The first few days of training and prep while we were there, I was faced constantly with the message that the Lord is speaking, listen and obey. I wish I could say that when I got to the base, after my week of restlessness and all that, that I had the energy and I felt invigorated by my submission and, you know, life is great. But in all honesty, I was tired. I didn't have the energy. And I even found prayer difficult at this time. Thankfully, the Lord knew my heart better than I did. And in many ways, being in Mexico made it easier to focus on him. We were surrounded by people who were constantly talking about God, worshiping him, praying, serving, and looking for where he was working. YWAM did an incredible job of keeping the focus on God, on who he is, what he is doing, and how present he is in the lives of the people around us. Being surrounded by these things made it easy to be in the presence of the Lord with a proper heart and mind, but mine was still restless. The second night we were there, I felt called to go be alone in my room, pray. I ignored that, brushing it off, thinking, no, you're here for the youth, be present and available to them. I think it tore me up a lot more than I expected. It's amazing how brushing off God can immediately make you feel distant from him and his kingdom. I came face to face with some things in my past that would have driven me away from God in my life, and simply put, it was hard. But it did put into context for me how my ignoring of what God was asking of me, something as simple as being alone and praying, was driving me further from what God wanted in my life. I was given a second chance to do what God asked of me, and the next night, he called out again, saying, go to your room, be alone, pray. I can thankfully say I listened. I went up and I prayed. I let things out that were on my heart, that were putting a stress on me, the things I had to forgive, the things I needed forgiven. I resubmitted a bunch of stuff to the Lord in a way that I hadn't done since I was like 12. I remember very clearly the immediate relief I felt. I felt my energy return, and I felt incredibly rejuvenated. It feels weird to say because it's not like I'd stopped praying, but prayer became easy again. The rest of the trip was a high. It was incredible. I was especially curious about the evangelism day that they had planned for us. Not knowing what it was going to look like kind of had me nervous. Go up on a mountain, pray, and go with some youth kids and hope it doesn't discourage them if they don't see some things that they thought they saw. I approached the day ready to listen, to hear him. This was the theme of the week. Let's do this. But he decided to throw a little curveball, and he just said, okay, speak. So I spent the time up there not waiting to hear him speak. I spent the time talking. I prayed, and I prayed for the people up there and for our kids and for the other leaders, and it prepared me far more for the day than I was expecting. It put my heart in a place, finally, where it needed to be. As a bunch of the youth mentioned before, it was a crazy day. Definitely find some of them, talk with them about it. They're very passionate, very crazy day, and they'll love to talk to you about it. So I won't go over that, but just as suddenly as the trip started, we were home. We were on our way. The highs that I had, the presence of God, the constant encouragement, gone. But that's kind of the way of it. You're there, you're through it. There's somebody reminding you to pray. You go home, not so much. You're not reminded to pray, to worship. Think about what God is doing. It can be pretty easy to go back to the normal routine and slowly lose that intentional focus on God. But I think part of me when I got home, kind of wanted that feeling, wanted to recreate it, wanted to bring it back. But I don't think that was the lesson I was supposed to take. I think I was supposed to bring back, the experience that I had there, bring it into my everyday life, change what I'm doing here, not bring what there here. So I've got home and normal life hit me. It came back and you kind of sit there and you say, okay, you're back into it. And I was, again, feeling a little run down. But something that didn't change was I had a renewed passion for Christ. And that kind of pushed me forward and I've been feeling a lot better and a lot more rejuvenated again. I've developed a deeper understanding of what God's calling me to do. Not necessarily that I need to go somewhere to serve him, but I need to be willing to serve him here. So going forward, I'm going to be focusing on being a better minister for Christ in my everyday life, looking for opportunities to serve, looking for God where God is working, and being more intentional about my prayer life. God is just as present here as he was in Mexico, and I'm just taking the time to recognize that. So I just want to take the time to say, thank you. It really pushed me forward, and I'm sure it pushed all the kids forward in their walks with Christ. I leading into it was thinking, my testimony, it's my testimony, it's kind of done. Foolish, I know. Here we are, testimonies develop every day. So thank you for putting a new piece to my testimony and allowing us to do that. I really appreciate that. I think I'll just close us out in prayer and then we'll invite the worship team up. Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be here today in your presence with the other believers, Lord, and thank you for putting our hearts together and bringing us closer to you, Lord. Thank you for the youth that were willing to share today their experiences, and I pray that whatever they had to say, it was somebody out there heard it and needed to hear it, Lord. Thank you for the day that you've given us. In your name we pray. Amen.